It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
I want to say good morning to everyone. I want to tell you a little story. For the past 2 weeks, we've been experiencing a little technical trouble here from Florida. And didn't know what the problem was. Thought it was my cable provider. And I called, no matter what we tried, I called my cable provider, Comcast, and they came out and they looked around and said, well, we've done all we could do. There's an issue in the neighborhood. So we still struggled with the problem. So I called them back and they said, well, we don't know what to do. So on Sunday, I got an Uber and I went and got a new network card for the computer and installed that. Still didn't work. So I've got to do something about this. I called Comcast again and they came back out and they had two people and they looked around and looked around and looked around and said, well, I think it's better, but we don't know. Well, when I got done yesterday, it wasn't better. But before he left, he goes, you really need to take your modem back to the store. I said, modem back to the store? Why didn't you just replace the modem like you're supposed to? Oh, no, we don't do that. So I unplugged the modem, went back to the store and said, now, look, I'm not going to pay for service like this. So something's going to have to be done. So they switched my plan and upped my speed a little bit. And the long and the short of it was I got a little bit better plan. But I said, I want your best modem. Well, but I want your best modem. But I said, all right, I'll go someplace else. And so they said, no, okay. So they gave me another modem. So I had to come home. I've never done this before. And I had to sit down and figure out how to get the modem back up and to make it work. So I went and Googled it on my phone because we didn't have any internet at this time. So, and how to do it. And I had to go get an app on the phone. And I was able to take that app and get the internet started. So I got in here and I seen the speed was doubled and I was just thrilled. I said, oh, well, now I know it's got to work. So I went and tested it. Still had the breakup problem. It just would not work. So then I called Doug. Doug and I tested a few more things. And I said, Doug, I ran out of things to do. I'm going to do one last thing. I said, I don't like to do this, but I'm going to roll my computer back because I think it's a computer problem. So I did that late last night, and now we're back on the air, and everything works perfect, except for a button when we got started this morning. But that's a long story and means we have to reset everything here in the house because of the new modem. But we now have excellent Wi-Fi coverage in this house because the modem is very strong. So the moral of the story is if you have trouble with your cable company, you need to be persistent and they don't always do everything you want them to do. So Michael, do you have any, what would you do if you wanted to have your system hardwired or something like that and Comcast would not do it?
Oh, well, they'd be told. Here I have a competition. They would be told. They will fix it or I will go elsewhere. But also I haven't done it, but I've been told there's very clear things you can put out on Facebook and Twitter and within an hour someone will call you level 2 support. They will call and resolve it because they don't want that negative social media. As far as getting a new device, I just make sure it has the same password and than most devices will talk to it, unless there's really been a radical change in the configuration. But that's why exactly I own my own modem and I own my own router for those reasons, so that I have control of that. And then I know whether the problem's on which end. I guess it could be an issue if your modem goes bad and you starts. The problem is they get intermittent. The voltage drops on them, and then you have the blame game, and they're going to blame you because you own your own modem. But that hasn't happened yet to me. But
Well, that's the only thing. Reason I got the modem from the cable company, Mike. Also, when I upgraded to the Spectrum new service, not the legacy Time Warner system, they gave me a separate modem and a separate router. It used to be like Bill has now. The router and the modem were one. Now it's two different devices. So that's you're right, Mike. What I did was I told the guy when I set it up, I'm keeping the password and user ID all the same, so that when I reconnected up my Sonos and I connected my Amazon Tap and my Amazon voice assistant, it worked properly and I didn't have a problem with it. The only one I'm thinking I'm having a problem with is Bose, and I'm not really caring about that since I'm probably going to get rid of the Sound Touch. I very rarely use it anymore.
Well, the other thing is some people have big homes and then they have to use something like there was a router called Eero, E-E-R-O, and I bring that up in part because that's, you know, Bill said he's, you know, quite a distance from his modem, and I said, well, trying to get hardwired would be ideal, but then either getting some device like this Eero that uses what they call a mesh network, so it's kind of like repeaters, and that way you can cover your whole house if you have a bigger home or multiple floors. But also, Eero was just bought by Amazon, so people believe that that's made a lot of noise on the internet. People are complaining about privacy because Eero's claim to fame, and in addition to covering your whole house, is that everything's going to be private and no one knows what you're doing. But Amazon is probably going to be a big play to really make all of their smart devices talk to each other and have a good router that can actually do that, so that your microwave will actually do what you tell it to do, and your TV and all your other devices.
Here's another cord-cutting bit of news. Unless anyone has anything else, I don't mean to hog it. But this is what the Sling TV is doing. You don't even have to have Sling TV. But if, let's say, you have your own home, or you have they will actually install an indoor antenna for you or an outdoor antenna for you if you're not capable of doing that. Yes, they will charge you for both antennas, either the indoor or the outdoor. But if you're not capable or not competent of doing that kind of work yourself, Sling will provide it for you. And no, you do not have to have Sling service. You don't have to have Sling streaming broadband service or cable service, I should say, whatever they call it. Sling will take care of this for you. That's the new thing that Sling is doing.
Well, that's a good idea, because then they're helping you to get your local channels, and they can set that up so that you could send them to your different devices, and then you just pay for a package of internet only, you know, or traditional cable TV channels coming to you over the internet.
The other thing that's news is Channel Master has this thing called the Smart Tenna, and what it is, it's an antenna with a receiver in it, and you hook this antenna up, and you have this antenna scan the channels that you have in your area, and if it can get all those channels, it optimizes itself for all the various channels. And of course, once you plug your TV in, since your antenna can get those channels, hopefully when you scan your television set, you can then get those same channels as well.
But they got this repack, right, where markets are redoing their channel lineups. I rescanned yesterday, bought a new antenna, and I got like a new 21.3, but it's CBS 44. So they're doing some new crazy things.
That's going to go on for the next few months. I think they're doing it here in Albany. We have a channel 45, but when it was repacked, the program information wasn't available properly, but I'm still getting the channel with no problem, and it said it was channel 43.1 or whatever. So, yes, it's all over the country because the UHF band has been shrunken once again. It used to be originally from 14 to 87 at one time, then it went from 14 to 69, and I'm not sure what it is now. Do you know offhand, Mike? I just don't remember what the channel spread is now on UHF, but that's why they're...
I don't know how that works, actually, now with HDTV. The only other thing, and I can't comment too much on it, but of course, last week was ATIA in Orlando, Florida, and I really didn't hear of anything too impressive. There were a few interviews at blindbargains.com. There'll probably be a few more coming up. There's some kind of one-cell reader. You actually have one braille cell, and I guess it talks as well. Like, I can't imagine trying to read with one braille cell.
You got to do, push the button every time you got to choose?
Plus one, three, one, seven.
I think you make it scroll so that...
Nine. 8 3 3
Well, I don't know. That's kind of interesting, although what how expensive it is.
I think it's $500. So I'm trying to think of it. It's something I'd have to see what would be the real world application, you know, where that would work. And the other thing, I guess it had a lot of buzz down there. And again, I can't talk intelligently about it. Hopefully someone knows more about this. It's some new thing that you put on your hand. It's really designed for people with one hand. And so... fits over your knuckles, I guess, and then you are able to use your one hand even on things like type on your leg. So it's a different combination of your five fingers and different positions of those fingers to create all your letters and symbols. And I don't hope no one would try to use that in replacement of learning an iPhone, but I guess really for people with limited use to one hand, but it was a big draw, I understand, at ATIA.
What about voice assistant products, Mike? Was there a lot of new stuff in that area, that ATIA, for voice stuff?
Well, I didn't hear anything, but I didn't really follow
Braille
it.
Braille Note Touch is being updated. They're refreshing that with a new processor, bringing it to the most modern Android system. So if you're a Braille Note Touch user, that might be of something to interest to you. And that's already starting to, or will be coming out shortly. So that's another thing. Jenny was looking into that because she has a Braille Note Touch and they use an old version of Android. But they're finding that they really need the latest version of Android to really go forward and do these things and update the Bluetooth and those type of things. I don't know about that, but those were the only real big things.
I got a question for you, Mike. Is it, when you buy a cell phone, is it worth it buying a service protection plan or not? I think maybe it is, and I'll tell you what happened. This past week, my daughter had her cell phone. She was visiting me, and she dropped the cell phone in the lobby of my building, and it was one of these iPhone SE phones. And when it fell on the lobby, there was a we have carpeting, but it's a part of the lobby that's marble. It hit the marble floor, and I actually thought it was a glass that had broken. Well, it was a glass that broke. She broke the screen on her cell phone. And we had to get her another cell phone because she does spend time alone because of the commuting that that her mom does going back and forth from between Albany and where her husband works. So,
well, at the very least, I'd say at the very least, you've got to have a protective case for it, an OtterBox or something that protects. And of course, the new phones with glass on front and back, that adds some
scary
challenges.
that is scary.
You definitely need a good case. There's no question or doubt about it. And I would suggest, Jeff, if you are buying a phone and you're making payments on it, that it would be a good idea to have insurance, because if it's not paid off and you still got to pay it off.
Yeah, I didn't have to worry about it. This was one of these things through Straight Talk. It was an Android phone that they got, so they paid for the phone. It was not an expensive phone. Now, the other thing I heard, Mike, I don't know if you heard this. I heard this on one of the technology shows that I listened to, that Apple and their next generation of iPhone coming out, I guess, next year or whenever they come out, is going to put the fingerprint reader back into the iPhone again.
Is that confirmed? I mean, this is a time there's a lot of rumors. It's rumored, first of all, in the spring that they're going to come out with updated AirPod 2s, I guess. And they're claiming they will have health capabilities. So I don't know what else they could do, maybe, but I guess they could measure your pulse and maybe your temperature since they're in your ears, but I'm not sure what they'll be capable of. And
they're also supposed to have a feature that's supposed to let them stay in your ears better, I guess. Something that makes them stick in your ears.
I've never seen a pair of headsets do that yet.
Some people just have ears that don't accommodate those. Mine work as long as I have them in the correct ear. I cannot switch the ears. They're definitely left and right.
Yeah, that's true for me with the ones that come with the iPhone too, that your pods or whatever your pods.
And a new wireless charger that they've been talking about for almost 2 years now. And I don't know, maybe another iPad or something.
For that one, because most companies have made those. And, you know, unless Apple's is something really, really special, why?
Well, the price will be special, especially
it'll
high.
It'll be high price. That's what it'll be. What's going on with Apple? Didn't they try to make a speaker that would try to compete with the Sonos? And I forgot what it was called. Mike, you remember the name of the speaker, I think. But you don't hear too much about that anymore.
Yeah, the Apple Pod or whatever it is. I know a few people that have them, and I guess it sounds pretty good, but it just can't compete. It's too limited. People have difficulty just doing phone calls on it, and, you know, it has no input jack, and I want a jack. I want to be able to, you know, take a radio or plug something else into it and use it as a speaker. So I don't know. I think it's going to be discontinued. My friends, the hardcores, think not. We'll see. Because Apple's kind of getting away from some of the hardware. You know, so they're talking about Apple's dropping the ball. There's a lot of things that they've had the lead in, and they're just giving it up. Example was the podcast. They had it, you know, everyone was using iTunes, and they ruined it with a I don't use it. Some people use that podcast app, but there's so much better out there. Just like this Eero, the whole home smart networking thing, right when they dropped their Airport Extremes, their routers that they had out there. So they're obviously, they're going into a software direction. Just like now you can go get YouTube TV and YouTube Music, Google services that you pay through Apple. So they're definitely switching their model. I think getting away from the hardware and going more to the software stuff. But things like the AirPods is one of their most successful products ever. So they're going to do a few things in the hardware realm, but it looks like software is going to be there and their services is going
to
be there.
One of the things that Apple needs to do is to test some of their products. And I may have muted you, Jennifer, and I'm sorry. They need to test their products better, because what's happening is that I just also read on Cord Cutters, I didn't have time to put it in my radio news, is that there's a problem with YouTube TV on some Apple TVs right now, and they don't know why yet, but they're working on that. But again, you know, I guess testing. When I worked for the state of New York, everything was quality assurance tested. We tested on 3 different systems before anything went live. But the pressure to get things done quickly and to get it out quickly because of the competition, I guess some of that doesn't happen. Okay, go ahead, Bill. I guess we got Jennifer on here, so why don't you introduce Jennifer?
Jennifer, I see you finally made it.
I did. I finally made it. Our guests have taken off.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jenny.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Jennifer can now legally qualify to live here in in the senior citizen community.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not.
that's kind of an underhanded compliment, I think.
Well, it was interesting that you were talking about you could get a great discount on your property taxes and so forth by becoming a Florida resident, and I don't understand why you can't be a resident of both Florida and Indiana, or why one of you couldn't be a Floridian and one of you a Hoosier. I don't know how that works, but anyway, Jennifer, I don't want to start an argument, but we're talking about no takers, and we've talked about this probably 10 years ago, but I'm still trying to justify why someone would spend almost, I think it's almost $6,000 for a no taker when you have modern technology, when iPhones or even the 40-cell Bluetooth Braille displays are now down like, $2,900 or something. I'm just trying to understand why someone in the modern day would want or need a note taker. But you use it more, so maybe you can answer that question.
Well, I don't even use everything. Well, it used to be like the Braille notes and some of those things. It used to be easier to, when you were writing, to copy things and move things around. It's still a little harder on an iPhone to do it. You can.
But you just said the high cost, Mike. Well, I think a lot of these companies, well, part of the problem is the amount of units they have to make money, because we're not a majority of people who are disabled.
Well, and part of it is because your Braille display is built in. You don't have the Bluetooth issues, and sometimes with voiceover or whatever, there's a little lag between your display and your voiceover and stuff if you're writing fast. And I don't know, it's just nice to have one thing to pick up and go someplace instead of have to take 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's a very valid argument. One of my concerns is these devices. I had a Pac-Man, and I always remember this going. I was working at the Better Business Bureau. We had a national convention in Virginia, and I remember feeling kind of strange because people were intrigued with the device, but there was no screen to it, you know? And I just made me feel kind of isolated in a strange way. It's like I can't use what everyone else does. I mean, that's a perception. I mean, I know better, but, and I know it shouldn't matter.
Now with like the Braille Note Touch, you could conceivably take it out of the case and they would see the screen.
Now,
if you can Braille on the screen.
Chris, what do you guys use? What's it called? The device you guys use?
We have a Braille Note and we have a U2.
Right. You have U2, or whatever it's called. Polaris, or?
Well, yes, we have a Polaris.
You have a Polaris.
But if I remember correctly, when I had a Pac-Mate when I was working for New York State, one of the bad things about the Pac-Mate is I couldn't go and I couldn't connect it to the internet at that time. I don't know if they ever made
Did, but you had to jump through a lot of hoops to make it happen. Now,
yeah, B.
That's.
But don't you find, though, Chris, that you use your YouTube when you want to just make a quick note or look something up faster because it's easier than using your phone?
Oh, yeah. I really like having a note taker. I think they're overpriced, but I still like having one.
Now, your thing with the note taker and your issue was they updated and got rid of the database.
Right. That's what the Polaris did, and they haven't put it back. So that's why I still have the U2 and the Polaris. We actually only paid for one, but because of, well, it's a long story, but anyway, they allowed me to keep both until they got the database back.
Now,
which, whatever.
My biggest complaints with the touch are that it takes so long for it to start up when it's completely shut off.
That's one thing I like about the Braille note, the plain Braille note, is it's on immediately. And that is nice. And happy birthday, by the way. I wasn't down here.
Oh, well, thank you. And the other thing I didn't like about any of them, really, is that you can't, like a computer, if you go to a website and you want to copy information from the website, you can do it easy. You can select it and copy it. But most of these devices, you can't take that information and copy it and put it over a notepad. Yes, you could type it in.
Do you find, Jeff or Mike, that you have trouble copying? It is hard to copy certain things from a website on your phone.
I never do it that way. And I know I could learn it, and I know there are commands to do that, but I find using the computer on the web still a lot easier than using it on the phone. But
that's the point I think we're trying to make here. Yeah, it'd be nice to use a lot of this mainstream technology for in the place of a note taker, but until you can get things to work like the computer.
I mean, I can copy stuff from a web page, but yeah, it is kind of a pain. There's a lot of gestures you have to go through to make that happen. And you have to modify your rotor so that it will do what you need to accomplish that. It doesn't work that way by default. So that would be real limiting. I guess my thing with note takers is if it functioned like a modern day PDA, you know, if it was like otherwise had all the capabilities of say an Android phone or something, so that I just hate that it's proprietary in the way that, you know, you're kind of steps behind. Even when you buy it new, it's in some senses outdated technology, some of the hardware in it.
I think that happens, and I think they're trying to go over to an Android based system, and what they want Chris to do is to use something like Google Sheets or even Excel. And I don't know if the experience is quite as good as what her database was, but that's what they're trying to get you to do, Chris, is to use the Google apps in order.
I know, but they even admitted that it didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I still have both. That was the agreement we made.
Now, how the new one would be, I have no idea, or it seems to me that until that comes out, but until you can get as productive as you can on a PC or even, what do they call this new JAWS thing, the Braille L or something like that? But then again, that's a very underpowered device, you know, and I wish somebody, you know, if they could convince us or show us something that would, you know.
That's why I like the idea of the, even though it's not really technically a note taker, that's why I like the idea of the Cue Braille, because you have the speed of using a Braille keyboard to interface with your computer, but you have the extra computer key, so you don't have to do crazy key combinations if you want to use a tab or whatever.
Well, I asked for one, so we'll see if I get it, but there's still a few. There'll be a learning curve. It still has a few unique combinations to it. But it's just, I think if someone really wants to score right now, they'd come out with a voice assistant note taker where you could do a lot of things with your voice. The technology is there. There's no question about it. But they seem to lag a couple years behind current technology.
Well, I've always said that no matter what we do as blind people, we'll always be behind the curve because everything is coming out so quickly. As quickly as it comes out, when they make it available for us or usable for us, it's already obsolete.
Yeah, because it takes so long for them to build around it and modify things around it. And
one of the things that we talked about with a couple of my tech friends and I is, and this would have to be done on a community basis, but to go around to homes to make things accessible for people. So many people, A, have never had the opportunity to have their microwaves marked or learn to use some of the smart devices or to get an antenna set up for their TV or to be able to properly use some of the Lady A or, you know, Google assistants or things of that nature. Do you think there's a need out there for a company or people to kind of set up washers and dryers or adapt to things for people to make it best for them?
Well, we should probably bring on like Danny Wayne and D Dot or something over at the Will Center in Terre Haute, because that's what they and many, you know, folks at independent living centers will go out and do those very things. They'll go out. They get a small budget, either buy something, some assistive device that usually has to be under $100. So it might be a thermostat with a large screen display, or right, they'll go in and label microwaves or help them with lighting for those who are partially sighted to be able to navigate their kitchen, or maybe they just need a good reading light so that they can use the remaining vision they have, or just other enhancements. So yeah, there's definitely a need for that. I don't know when you start talking about going out and doing TV antennas. Yeah, that would be, but you know, how to make it lucrative.
Rehab teachers used to do a lot of that stuff, but they're kind of getting to be a thing of the past now. They're phasing them out.
I think one of the big needs is for people that live in apartment complexes for using their laundry facilities. Some of those are impossible.
I can tell you that I can use my washing machines, but when they use a card system so that I have to reload the card with money on it so I can use the machines. Now I can put the card in the machine that I load the card up with, but I have no way of knowing how much is on my card. And I have no way of knowing when my card is loaded. You put the machine in, you put the money in. I'm sorry, you put the card in. It tells you how much is on the card. You hit the amount of money you want to put on the card. It's either 10, 20, 30, or 40. Then you swipe your credit card through. Now that's okay. But once that's done, you can't pull the card out until it gets registered on the card, and you don't know when it's registered on the card. Well, they used to have it as the old way. When you would put cash in, the machine would suck up your bills. And it would write to the card, and you could hear it make this clicking noise, and you'd know that it was all done. So that's so.
Yeah.
We're just everything is getting so automated. I mean, you can go to McDonald's and use a computer to place your order. Now, I don't know. I doubt that we could do that, but.
Well, in St. Louis, we used you could take your iPhone and it had that Apple Pay in it, and you could put that against the Coke machine to buy your Coke. You couldn't use cash. So they might be able to do that with laundry. I think you were going to say something, Chris.
I was going to say Ellen has her hand raised.
See that.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ellen here. First of all, it was 26 degrees this morning, just so I let you know that. And also, it talk about, you know, making things accessible. What I had to do when we moved in here, our laundry machines were not labeled in any way, shape, or form for the blind. So what I did is I talked to my manager, and she just ordered the machines, but the labels to put on there. And when they came in and they put the labels on, it was beautiful. I told that made my laundry life much easier. Now, we have the car, too, but what I do is that machine is in the office itself. So whenever I need to put money on there or have a question, I just go to the office and we just check to see how much is on the card. And then if I need to put money on it, then okay, great. But it's also a pie since I use a wheelchair. I can't reach the machine, so I actually need somebody that can stand to help me with that as well. So anyway,
and yeah, these are all access issues, Ellen. You know, we know that.
Yeah, but also I'm trying to think. I am a huge fan of Dymo tape. So whatever you can do as far as labeling things, Dymo tape is really the way to go.
But try to buy the clear Dymo tape, because if you buy the Dymo tape that is colored or, you know, different colors, it may obscure the regular labels that are on the device. And I don't like doing that. I like having I don't want it to look like it's a blind device. In other words, if I label my mic, it's going to be clear Dymo tape so that sighted people can still use the device easily.
That's what I use. I use the clear because it's that way it can't be seen. So Anyway, I just thought I'd throw my two cents in.
You got it.
I also tried reading that card reader with the iPhone, Mike and Bill, for the laundry, and it just does not read the small digital screen very well. I just use Seeing AI, and it just cannot read it.
Okay, so what about the washer itself? I mean, is the lid locked until you put the card in to pay, or could you end up putting all your clothes in there and then find out you don't have enough money on your card to run the load? Or
yeah, that could easily happen.
That depends on the machine, what kind of machine they have, because some do lock and some don't.
My machine doesn't lock. What you do is you put your card in, and it makes a clicking noise when it's okay. So I load the machine first. And my machine still has the old-fashioned knobs to set it initially. Then I put the lid down, put the card in, it makes a clicking noise, and then I push a button to start the machine. But they are changing the machines to some touch control machines in my building eventually, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do at that point, because I really don't want to depend on other tenants in my building to help me do my laundry. At that point, I may have to move out of the complex I'm in.
Well, you can always do what I did at see if they can purchase the labels to put on there, and that actually works. I mean, it's worth a try.
Well, we may see if we could do that, Ellen.
Just thought I'd give you that as a suggestion. So.
Looks like we got a new caller, Chris. Yeah, you.
I got a 385 caller. Would you like to say something? We've never had you before.
Unmuted.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Tom from Salt Lake City. It took me a while to get in, so I want to go back on a point that you were discussing all here 5 or 10 minutes ago, which is the problem with note takers in copying from websites. I have a U2 as well. Don't have a Polaris. I have a U2. And I have found that I can copy information from a website. I can select and copy to the clipboard, and then while the website is still up, I can switch tasks, go into the word processor and paste the information from the clipboard, and I find that works quite well in copying information from the website. But the other point I wanted to make is I think we need to really try to get manufacturers to start coming off with payment plans so that people can really afford their devices. Because I think until they do that, there are going to be a lot of people who will never be able to afford a note taker device or even something like a Victor Reader Stream or a Blazy Z or a Bookport.
Well, I agree 100%.
Right, and you raised the point there that what may be keeping those prices elevated is that they get federal, state, purchases, and that keeps the prices elevated.
But I agree with you because it's hard to shell out $5,000 or $6,000 for a note taker. People don't have that kind of money. And I've noticed the barcode reader, Envision, does that now, where they'll work out a payment plan or with somebody. And, or they might tell you, well, go to the internet and get PayPal. Well, I don't know what it is. What is it, Mike? PayPal credit or something like that, and you can do it on payments. But I believe that, especially on these big ticket items, they need to do that because they would sell a whole lot more of them. A lot of people are on fixed incomes and they don't have that kind of money to pay $5,000 or $6,000 for a Braille taker, a Braille note taker, even $3,000.
Well, I'd like to see someone innovate and take modern technology. You've got the 20 cell displays for $500 and, tablets, and just integrate something that fits it all into one case so that you carry it as one device. Maybe not quite as smooth as a note taker, but in yet other ways gives you all of the functionality that you currently have, say under Android or something like that, and get the cost down.
Do you know that Amazon will let you pay for your products over time? I didn't know that, but when I bought something from Amazon, I bought my coffee and they said, would you like to get the Amazon store card and you can pay for your purchases over time? Now, of course, Amazon doesn't own the company that does it. It's done through Synchrony Bank, but that, with no interest, you could pay off your products, buy your products over time. Obviously, they're competing with QVC, which is the same thing as EasyPay as well. And QVC has a Q card. I think that's done through some sort of bank like Synchrony Bank or one of those banks. So
I agree with our caller. Yeah. There just needs to be a way.
That's only going to be a product, though, that Amazon sells or services. It doesn't help in this particular problem because because they don't sell or service these products. How many sighted people do you know who go out and buy an appliance and pay $6,000 for it outright? I don't think you'll find any who can do that unless they're independently wealthy or very rich.
Well, that's right. And Synchrony Bank is the same bank that QVC uses, too, by the way.
That's what I thought.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. If a person uses the Easy Pay over like a 3-month period or whatever, they split the payments out. That's not done through a bank or something like that. Is that not done through, well, I don't know how.
I think that's done through the bank because it goes on your Q card. The payments go on your Q card. So,
if you don't have it on your Q card, it goes on your credit card then.
Yeah, or your debit card or
whatever.
So I agree with you. Most people could not afford to go out and put $6,000 down for a note taker.
Yeah, and when they have bargains, it's not a big enough bargain for most people to be able to afford it, even though they give you have a deal and say, oh, we're selling it at 20% off or whatever. It's still way too much money.
Yeah, most of their bargains come just right at Christmas time, too.
Yeah.
Well, but that's with everything, though, sir. Can I ask your name? You're the guy in Utah. What is your name, sir?
Tom,
we just wanted to make sure we know who we're talking to, and then we can say hello to you and hope you call again as much as possible.
Most people, they complain if they have to pay $1,000 for an iPhone. What if they had to pay $6,000 for a note taker?
Just wouldn't do it.
That's right.
Let's say if the whole.
It's almost like these companies intend for you to have to go through vocational rehabilitation or some kind of state agency or a federal agency to get these products. Like, they're not designed for an individual person to be able to buy them.
Well, and then some states will subsidize people who are visually impaired to buy some of these products, like the state Missouri does it. I mean, I'm in New York State. I'm retired. I'm not using the Commission for the Blind or any rehabilitation services anymore. I'm done. I mean, I've been retired for 10 years almost. But I think Missouri has a fund that they use to allow blind people to buy technology-oriented products. But I'm not totally sure how it all works, but I know it does work in Missouri.
Well, here in Utah, we do have they don't here in Utah. The state won't subsidize it unless you have a job or the promise of a job, then they will. However, here in Utah, the Utah Council of the Blind does have technology grants or technology loans that people can use to help buy these products, and that's nice. But still, without some sort of help like this, most people are pretty much shut.
Yeah, and like you said, unless they've got the means to be able to do it. And yeah, these phones and some of these devices, but being the alumni, we have a lot of members who are never going to be proficient on an iPhone. They're just not going to be able to embrace or use this new technology no matter what we do. So
that's why I argue for voice assistance. I think someone really wants to innovate, come up with a new note taker that is as much as humanly possible voice driven. And I think
that's a good idea.
I think you'll open up a market of people who just do not have the tech savvy, or maybe if they did at one point, maybe age, the mental function is not, cognitive function is not what it used to be. And I just think really that's the future, what someone needs to be looking at and innovating.
Well, you're talking about an Amazon device on steroids, I guess, something that, you could copy files or you could do things or...
Right, or Amazon or Google, whatever. I mean, who cares what the technology is as long as it works? And they have their ability to edit and take notes and control their TV and, all the things that we're pretty much doing now, but kind of in pieces, a little jagged, still a little rough around the edges. But
getting to the stage of the Jetsons TV show, if you want to do it in a way. I think Bill raised his hand out in Chicago.
We're getting lazy in this. We want automatic devices to do all of this for us.
I don't know that it's lazy, though. I mean, if you can do something, I can go on the internet and I can go to a website and I can find a link to listen to a radio station. But if I can ask Alexa within 3 seconds to play something, then why would I not want to do that? I mean, why? That's just efficiency. That's not I don't see that as lazy. I guess some people do, but
I agree. And I wish, like, for example, Spectrum, I wish that Spectrum Cable had a skill for the Amazon or the Google Voice Assistant, because I can tell it to switch to the cable, but I want to be able to tell it go to cable channel 13. And Bill, go ahead. I think you raised your hand,
yeah,
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill. You're there.
Is Bill there, Chris? Is anybody?
He's not muted. I don't
know. No, he's not muted. So
and we're not hearing him for some reason. I'm not sure why we're not hearing you, Bill. You may want to call back in. I'm not just sure why we're not hearing you, but you're definitely not muted.
Yeah, Zoom has some little issues.
When I called in, I was automatically muted.
You were?
Yes.
I don't think we did it intentionally.
No, Bill was definitely not muted.
Yeah, because Chris and I are both checking it. He was not muted. So well, hopefully he'll call back.
He left the meeting, so he's probably going to call back.
Yeah. Sometimes, Tom, we mute people, especially during meetings, or what we find is no matter what we try, some callers will not limit their background noise, and no matter what we try to do.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we sir, hear you, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to make a comment. We were talking about, you know, financing this equipment net. You know, if you go and buy most anything, like even, you know, normal, I'll say normal-sighted people that go down and buy a car or refrigerator or stove, and they don't pay cash. Well, all these things are backed by a bank. Even though you use a credit card, it's still backed by a bank. And if you go to a bank to get a loan or something like that, you got to secure a certain amount of income to even qualify. Now, do they? Maybe the banks won't back these companies and stuff to do credit because the people that buy this stuff are on limited incomes, and they know that possibly they're not going to be able to pay it off, or they'll go belly up on it, and then of course the bank, the company can't afford, the bank lose the money. So there's probably stipulations in there in the credit loaning for the companies to borrow the money to give it to you on credit. You follow me?
And also, Bill, you know that when you buy these $6,000 appliances, a lot of times these appliance stores will say, yes, you can buy it, and we'll give you, and you can have the appliance for, I forgot how many, but let's say it's 1 year or 2 years financing free, interest free, and if you pay the monthly payments over the 2 year period, you pay for the appliance. When I bought my furniture, when I bought my first home, I financed my furniture through Raymore and Flanagan and had a 1 year loan to pay it off. It was interest free. When I bought my iPhone, Apple offered me interest free loan through one of the banks here in Albany. I paid off my iPhone over a 2 year period. That's how they get away with paying for the $6,000 appliances.
No, I think Bill makes a very good point. I was going to raise those issues earlier anyway, that A, you've got this expensive device. You may have someone on limited income. There are banks that, even though you have security, maybe you want to go get, you know, $15,000 for tech, and you have, say, a $40,000 home, and you have it paid for in full. But say if your credit score is still 600, they won't gamble. They're going to assume you're a risk, and you're going to take off. So there's a lot of things that are going to keep people from being able to grab a $6,000 device, not just because they want it.
And I think also a lot of these outfits, they know that there's organizations or associations or things that pay this stuff outright for certain people. And they said, well, why do I have to worry about going through a credit and all that stuff through the banks?
The easiest way to get something financed, Bill, is a car. You don't have to have any money, but
a car. Because there's a place here in Chicago advertising the other day I saw on TV. It was on 76 and Western. I forget the name of the place, but there was two young people, and they must be the spokesman or something. But you could go in and get a car for $10 down and so much a month.
Yeah, but let me tell you Let me tell you the problem, folks. Yeah, you could deal with a car because they will come and repo that car 2 weeks late,
right,
and they can sell the car and get some, if not all, of their money back. But
Also, Bill, is that if you do that, for example, there's a place in Albany where they say, hey, if you want a car, put one dime down and you got credit. As long as you make so much per month, we'll give you credit. You can buy your car. Yes, you'll get credit and you'll pay, I don't know, maybe 18 to 20% interest on that loan over a 4 or 5 or maybe a 6 year period.
Well, you have to pay 5 times the price of the car.
That's right. And this is a place that really specializes in used cars. So, you know, people, you've got to read that fine print, which a lot of people don't read. And of course, if you need a car, and like here, you do need a car because there are places where you just can't get around unless you have one. So you're caught between a rock and a hard place.
You know, we talk about credit and paying things. What are some of your guys' strategy for paying bills? I know we don't use checks as much anymore. How do you pay your bills? Do you depend upon somebody sighted? Do you set up your automatic withdrawal from your account? Do you go online and pay your bills that way? Do you go through your bank and use a bank, you know, service that pays through the bank? How do you pay your bills?
Automatic withdrawal.
All right, there's one, Michael.
I don't trust auto withdrawal because, but anyway, that's one way to do it. I pay everything myself except where I rent. They only take checks, so I trust one of the two ladies in the office to write the check, and then I sign it, and I have a carbon if there were ever an issue. But everything's online for me.
Everything's online for me. I pay my rent. Even my rent is paid through a company called RentPayment.com out of Walnut Creek, California. My building, my complex has a contract with them. And they do, what do they call it? What's an EFC or EFT, electric funds transfer? And they take the money out of my checking account and it pays my rent. But every time I pay a bill, I do it online. But if I have to write a written check, for example, I had to pay my daughter's pediatrician. And I sent her a check through Citizens Bank, which is the bank I use. And I set it up as a profile. And they will actually cut a paper check for the individual who needs the paper check. So I never have to physically touch or write a check. Even though I have checks at home, I never have to use. I haven't used them in years.
Never trust the internet.
Yeah, what about Chris and Dave? How do you do?
We pay online through the bank. It doesn't cost anything, and they will write a check to an individual and mail it out too. It just takes a couple more days for it to get there. And if we do need to write a check, we write a check through Money Talks, which is a program through APH, and it works really well.
It works with a regular printer. How do you get the printout of the check?
Well, you have to go in and in Money Talks and set your printer to print the check the way you want. Usually that's landscape. And once you get your checks, once you get it set up, though, it's good. It stays. So you really only have to do that setup process one time.
Yeah, I used to write checks with a Smith Corona typewriter with the little
so did I.
Yeah.
God, those are the days, Mike. Yeah. Remember those days? I remember those.
You can't do that anymore, though, because even these electronic typewriters, if you go down six lines and back up six lines, you're not in the same place. Exactly.
Okay, so I see you've got Gail on the line. Chris, is she unmuted?
She's not muted.
She should be unmuted.
Okay. Gail, did you have a comment to make?
It's a 320 phone number.
It's Gail.
It's Gail. I heard.
How you pay your bills?
There you are.
You were talking about how you pay your bills. For most of it, for me, I just, from CenturyLink, for instance, I do auto pay, you know, or they take it out. There's only, and then I just subtract it out. And for the other ones, I do about the same thing. I just call, I call CenturyLink to find out what it is, and then I subtract it out. And the same thing with XL Energy, and I rarely write checks. The only check I write is for my cleaning person.
You can write me a check, Gail. My name is so-and-so. My address is so-and-so, and I'll be
well. No, thank you. No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding you, Gail.
I know you're kidding. That's why I said no. But that's what I do. And then I'll every so often take everything into the bank and have them balance my checkbook for me and help, you know, get things balanced up every so often, because that way then I kind of know what I'm doing. If I, you know, because I can't always find readers for things, as you probably know. Finding a reader is like finding a small needle in a large haystack. And so I just do the best I can. And when I can snare someone or someone is with me, they can help me with these things. I have a cleaning lady that not only cleans for me, but if there's mail on the table or the bills or something like that, she'll read all that stuff to me.
I think they should outlaw junk mail. Most of the mail I get, because all my bills are paid online.
I agree with you as far as junk mail. That stuff.
I mean, you can't believe how much junk mail I get. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was going to say, my bank that I use, I can check my account every day by phone, and I can see what goes through and what doesn't go through. And if there's something on there I don't understand, I can just call the bank and say, hey, what was this for? Because maybe my daughter, I told her, she writes checks once every now and then for me. Maybe she wrote a check, and I said, wait a minute, what was that $63.10 for?
Yeah, let me.
And then I'll call the bank, and they'll tell me what it's for, and I can say, okay, it's okay to clear it or not clear it. And my bank that I bank with, if you hold a check more than 30 days on me, they won't let it process through unless they call me personally and say, we got a check number so-and-so for such and such place. Is it okay to clear it?
Yeah, Bill.
So if I send you a check and it goes more than 30 days, you won't get it cleared.
I want to cover something you mentioned there, because this just happened to me, and this is very important for people to know this. If you have credit card fraud, you may have up to 60 days to cover that. I wouldn't advise waiting that long. But if someone writes a check against your account, as has happened to me, you only have 48 hours to catch that. And if you don't, it's on you, even if you didn't have the money, even if you were overdrawn. So I would encourage people, I used to say this, check your at least every other day, maybe even every day, if you because you don't think it's something that's ever going to happen. But when it does...
Can you explain what happened to you, or would you rather not talk about it?
I don't mind. I'd lived with someone before, and when I moved over 4 years ago, there was one checkbook that was missing, and I just assumed that I misplaced it. It didn't have that many checks in it, and I kind of forgot about it. And someone took the liberty of taking it to the bank and cashing it. And I just happened to check right before the coffee club a couple weeks ago. And I don't normally check every day because I'm not doing transactions every day. And thank God I did, because I was able to go to the bank and have it covered as a forged check. But if I had I not done so, within 2 days, that onus would have
been out.
Well, I even check my credit card every day. I check those every day, too.
Because
you can get stuff on those. I mean, I had one day an outfit that I ordered from and used a credit card, and it's a real popular place. And I credit my credit card one day, and there was a $3,000 charge. And I said, wait a minute. $3,000 charge. I called, and they said, oh, yeah, so-and-so ordered this for you. And I said, no, they didn't order it for me because I didn't clear it. So they got stuck with it.
Right. So the other thing is, if you do miss a checking book somehow, contact that bank and make sure those numbers are blocked. And if you want, really make sure. I had already disabled my credit card for no overdraft protection. I did not. If something happened and the funds weren't there, did not want it covered, and I thought it carried over to checks, and it did not. And that should have prevented this from happening. So, if you don't ever want that scenario to come up.
My credit card now,
I got it set up with Visa and Master. I don't know if they still do this or not. Mine's still active. That if anyone charges more than $100 on my credit card, they call me immediately and say, is it okay?
That's a good idea.
If you get that put, see if you can get that put on your card, because someone could put a $200 charge on there. And if you don't check your credit card every day or every now and then, you're going to be paying that bill.
Then you're stuck with it.
Yeah, you're stuck with it. So the thing is, check with your credit card and say, hey, can I get notification if over $100 charge or $500 charge, whatever you want to set at? Well, mine's $100. So even if I go to a store and spend $100 on my credit card, and I've done it myself, I'll come home and there's a voicemail on my message, or they'll call my cell phone and say, is it okay to clear this?
The other thing I would recommend is not using your debit card to buy things. I mean, you can use your debit card, but be very careful with it. Because a debit card is like a credit card, as my bank says. But, when you're dealing with a bank, it's a lot harder to get your money back with a debit card than it is with a
credit card. Right. Well, I don't use the credit card.
I like the way Chase does it, because they'll send us a message and say, is this a valid transaction? And you can just very quickly say, yes, it was me, or whatever. They tell you what to say if it was you.
And save time and everything else.
I use
U.S. Bank, so that's why. I
had a problem with Instacart, because I would use my credit card with Instacart. It was Capital One. And for the first 3 weeks of using grocery shopping with Capital One, they kept telling me, there's a fraud. We might think there's fraudulent activity on your card, because I was using Instacart. And that may be because when they charge your bill, they ask, let's say that my bill is $30. They may add additional limit. What do they call it? When they make it so that you can spend more. Like, for example, if the bill was $60 rather than $30, it's covered already. So that may be why Capital One was having that problem. But I don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, they had about 20%, hoping that you'll use it as a tip, or if you do add a few other items. But
right. Yeah. All right. Can I ask
you guys a technical question real quick? Maybe somebody can answer me real quick. This is my kind of personal computer thing. Technical question, because I got all these guys on here. I had my computer off last night. I turned it on this morning, and it booted up, and it boots up the window chime and everything else. But I can't get JAWS to work. I don't know what he was working yesterday. I don't understand what happened. And I've clicked everything I can think of. What would I do? Of course, I can't see the screen, so what would cause that?
Well, Windows is notorious for doing updates and messing with the sound, and Bill could tell you story after story that has happened to him and his radio set up there and everything, where they do an update, they mess with the audio. You might try to launch Narrator. Maybe it'll talk in the sound card, unless they've really done something to mute your sound, but
They might have turned your volume down all the way on the sound, too. That's what happens with me sometimes.
Some of the updates take a good deal of time, and they won't do anything until they're done.
Minutes. You're right.
Right. Okay.
So that could be...
Yeah, because when I first turned it on, it said, update, do not turn your computer off.
Oh.
So I just let it run, and finally it was counting down. It said 100%. Well, now the JAWS don't work. I don't know what had happened to it. And I even turned it off and rebooted it again. See, maybe that would do it. But it's still, it come up, the little chime for Windows come up. But then on my speakers, but there's no JAWS at all. So I guess
have you tried your hotkey for JAWS?
You mean insert J?
No, yeah. Control J.
Yeah, Control J, right. Yeah. No, I didn't try that one. I'll have to try that one. But anyway, I'll figure this thing out somewhere. But it just you guys are on the phone. I thought I'd ask you because I never had that happen.
And one time my JAWS wouldn't load because Microsoft put up a message saying, "Do you want to change something or something else, or do you want to look at other settings that you may want to change?" And of course, that prevented JAWS from running. And the only way I knew that was there is I had a second screen reader. I used NVDA and manually started that, and that's what happened. So
yeah, that helps. Or narrator probably would have helped with that too.
Yeah, I forget how you bring up narrator. I don't use it that much.
Oh, which version of Windows do you have?
Enter.
What is it?
It depends on what version of Windows you're on, but
seven or 10. He's on the latest version, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Windows Control Enter.
Yeah.
Oh, Windows Control. Okay, Control Windows
Enter.
Okay.
If you have Windows 10, yeah.
Yeah, I got Windows 10 on here.
That'll get narrator talking, and you can move around and see what's going on, or try to start JAWS manually.
All righty, because I don't use narrator that much. I usually use JAWS. I always have to stop and think or look back and see how you turn the narrator.
It's a handy tool to have for that very reason.
Okay. All right, Control is window enter. Okay.
This recipe is for something called mock fried potatoes. They're sort of like fried potatoes, but you make them in the microwave. And it's two very large baking potatoes or four medium potatoes, and you can either peel them or you can just scrub them up real good. 3 tablespoons of margarine and salt and pepper. You cut your potatoes, whether you decide to peel them or not, you cut them into the size of short French fries. So kind of like short golden crinkle fries or frozen fries, not the skinny ones. And you find a microwave dish with a lid, probably about, 2-quart one maybe. And but it does need to have a lid. You place a layer of the potatoes in the bottom of the microwave dish, and you sprinkle with salt and pepper and dot with about a tablespoon of margarine. And you continue layering until the potatoes are all placed, and you finish it off with salt, pepper, and margarine. So probably you're going to get about 3 layers of potatoes, but if you have more, you might need a little bit more margarine. You cover that with the lid and you microwave it for about 3 minutes, and then you take the lid off and stir it and return it for 3 more minutes and take it out and stir it again, and they should be done. And they are, I mean, they're not quite as good as regular fried potatoes in grease, but they're pretty good and quick, and it makes 3 to 4 servings.
I'm hungry. Every time you do this, I get hungry, Chris. I don't know why.
That one's easy.
Even Jeff, who doesn't like to cook, could probably do that. That's an evil laugh, Jennifer. You know that.
Oh, I can't help it.
You could use other seasoning, too, if you wanted. I mean, you're not limited to salt and pepper. But that's just what we like.
I would use garlic for me. I like garlic.
You could use a little garlic. You could use a little Cajun seasoning, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we're talking about technology, I do use Seeing AI to read barcodes, but sometimes I have problems with that. Sometimes it'll read it one day, and when I put it in the same place in the same package, it won't be able to read it. So I'm really going to spend the money and buy a barcode reader. Do you recommend one, or do you have one, Chris?
Yeah, we have the Galaxy, and it does pretty well. My only complaint with the Galaxy, and it's not as much a Galaxy complaint, I guess, as it might be a Schwann's complaint, it's getting really hard to find their barcodes.
I understand. Now, what happens if the barcode is not in the database? Will it at least give you the barcode, the UPC code, so that if you know it, if you hear it, you can like put it in Google, it'll tell you what it is?
Actually, you can do that.
You can do that, and once you know what it is, it'll say it. Once it tells you item not found, you can record your own if you want to, so that next time it sees that barcode, it will know what it is.
But will it read you the textual version of what that UPC code is?
Yes, it will.
Okay, that's what I meant. So a lot of times I've done that in Google. I'll say UPC colon, and I'll put the code number in, and it actually come back and tell me what it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
Hey, Chris, I heard, I was watching the Today Show the other day. I must have been bored. But they had a recipe for what they call aphrodisiac salad, something for Valentine's Day. And they mentioned something called arugula. I'm not familiar. Is that like a lettuce or what is that?
I think arugula is a lettuce. Jenny, do you know anything about arugula?
No, I know it's some kind of a green. Isn't it kind of, I'm not real sure. I don't, I know it's in the green family.
Yeah, I think it's a form of lettuce.
All right.
It's a Mediterranean plant of the mustard family. That's all that my voice assistant told me. It's a Mediterranean plant of the mustard family.
Wait,
they do come in handy, these voice assistants.
Oh, yes, they do.
Do you find the voice assistant helps you with cooking, Chris?
I don't really use her too much for cooking unless I, maybe if I'm sitting around looking at recipes, I might. But as a general rule, I don't really use her too much for cooking.
You know what's really nice? If you want to ask it to spell a word and you don't know how to spell it, that really is cool. If I'm writing something down and I want to know how to spell something and I don't want to, you know, it does work. I was surprised by how well it does work.
Yes, I use it all the time for spelling and math. Math is good.
Yeah, we use that, especially if we're looking up titles first in our broadcast studio.
Some people out there spell their names really oddly.
Yeah, it'll tell you that if there's three or four spellings on a name. So you still could guess, but at least it's going to be correct for someone's name.
Yeah,
that's true. And it works real well. I mean, it just does.
Well, it's fast.
And now I thought Google was a little better with the recipes because it would stop and wait till you got that step down. Then you go to the next step. And
yeah, exactly.
You can pause her too. I mean, she will do that. But,
you know, and I thought, you know, with recipes, especially if you're wanting to cook something or to do something.
Yeah, the other way Google works is you could either say, it'll say, do you want to prepare the ingredients? And it'll do step by step and you just say next whenever you're ready. Or you could just have it, the actual cooking instructions.
That's kind of nice. Hey, I got a question about QVC, Chris. Let's say, you know, they offer something, but I don't want to buy it on Easy Pay. I can't figure out how to do that in the automated section with the phone. Like, if I want to buy it, I'll just pay for it out at once. But I cannot figure how to not pay for it with Easy Pay.
Once it says if you want to apply Easy Payments plus all other terms available, press 1 for detailed something. I forget the wording. Press 2. I think if you press 2, you can opt to pay for it all at once.
Okay, I was just curious because I don't normally buy stuff from QVC, but I was just curious about that. So thank you.
Okay, I know what the problem is with the demo now. It's not a problem with our setup or the demo here, but when this computer updated or changed and we didn't think about that, thought we covered everything. The USB port or whatever is not functioning correctly, which runs the demo or the, you know, that provides it live for the,
yeah, the output.
Yeah, so we're going to have to, after the show, then we can reboot the machine and get all the USB working.
And a good hammer works good, Bill.
Yeah, it does work good, doesn't it? But that's,
we can just replay this one next week.
So
then we could demonstrate a hammer.
Yeah, well, on a computer, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because when I go back in here and check, and I thought,
we could sing if I had a hammer.
Yeah, yeah. We could sing if I had a hammer.
I think I'd rather hear Peter, Paul, and Mary sing it better.
I want to hear the Sam Cooke version.
That's a nice version, too. Yeah. And so is Trini Lopez does a very nice version of it, too.
What about Bill Sparks? Does he do a good version?
No. All right.
I saw demonstrations, Bill. I saw a demonstration the other day for some type of blender. I don't know what it was called now, but instead of using a regular blade, it had blunt blades, and it actually chopped up a cell phone and it ground up marbles. Oh. And you could buy this thing. I forget the brand name now, but with some blender, some guy manufactured it, would actually, they actually put a iPhone in it, chewed it up to nothing, and they put a couple handfuls of marbles and ground it down to glass.
I wouldn't want to get my fingers caught in that.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Hey, I heard there's a new rage, and I'm going to ask Chris about this and anyone, I guess, but there's a new rage. This is what the celebrities are doing now, and they claim it is one of the healthiest things you could possibly do, and it is celery juice. It's taking, like, I'm guessing about a whole stalk of celery and just juicing it and making about 16 ounces of it and drinking it within your first half hour of being up in the morning. And I've looked it up, and unless it's all hoopla, I mean, I'm reading a lot of health medicinal benefits to it, and I actually like celery, so I think that would be one thing I wouldn't mind juicing, but I didn't know how much for 16 ounces. I'm guessing definitely at least a stalk of celery.
I do too. I think I would like that.
It's probably might even be a couple of stalks. I don't know how much that would be. I don't think you'd get a lot out of a, well, if you're talking about a stalk like that all comes together bundled, you know,
yeah,
maybe, but that, you're not going to get a lot out of just breaking off one stalk.
You know, QVC used to sell this juicer like a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Then they demonstrated all the time. You could probably take the celery and put the celery stalks in that thing, and it would just.
Oh, you're probably talking about the Vitamix.
No, it was a juicer. I remember like Jack LaLanne would sell it. He would be on. I don't know if he was on QVC, but some company like that.
Well, they make now. They I don't know about if they have those, but they have the Vitamix, and they also have the Ninja.
Ninja's another one. Yes.
So what do you recommend? I don't have a juicer. What would you recommend, Chris? You've played with more than a few, and I know you've demoed a few on here.
No, we don't juice that much. The Vitamix does well, but you're always going to... I guess the one thing I kind of don't like about it is it leaves things kind of thick.
And they're very expensive.
Yeah, they want you to use like a cheesecloth or something
If you want true juice, you're supposed to strain it.
And... are they not expensive?
Vitamixes are, yeah.
But they've been around for almost forever.
Is a little lower price, though, I think.
Yeah, I think the Vitamix is around $500.
But the Vitamix has really good customer support, and they really do stand behind their stuff. I will say that.
And you can make soup with the Vitamix, and you can make ice cream with the Vitamix.
That's right.
And ask Jan Muller. He's the one that demonstrates it all the time. I know. Yeah, I need to get a
soup. We've made soup, and we've made not ice cream, but shakes.
I know I need to get a life, guys, because I watch too much television.
Is there another way to get? I mean, Vitamix, and that's about the only thing. I'm sure there's other juicers out there.
The Ninja.
Well, there's a lot of juicers out there. I don't know what all's out there, but yeah, the Ninja's out there. And there's some others.
And there's one that Jack, before he died, Jack LaLanne used to advertise this juicer that he would advertise on television as well. So there definitely are a lot of brands of them. You know, like remember they used to have the Vegematic with that mixes, that quinces, dices, slices, everything. Well, there are other devices that do the same thing.
Well, right after Chris and I got married, I had this thing that was advertised on TV called the Magic Bullet. And it was supposed to be, you can make milkshakes with it and all this kind of stuff. And so we decided one day we were going to make milkshakes. And Chris, she wanted a peanut butter milkshake. Problem was she put too much peanut butter in, and it caused the Magic Bullet to smoke.
I figured if a little peanut butter was good, a lot would be better. So
I think that Magic Bullet's made by Ninja, as a matter of fact, Dave.
It probably is, but the Magic Bullet was no more.
I remember when I was a kid, my mom bought us a cotton candy machine where we could make cotton candy. And my friend Jackie and I said, well, yeah, we'll make cotton candy. He forgot to put the cover on this thing, and there was sugar all over the place. My brother she'd never buy that again for us anymore.
So, Dave, you want to take the celery juice challenge and let us know if you feel better?
Yeah, sure.
I think they say it works best with organic, but I guess any celery will do. But
In the Jewish religion, I mean, it's a Jewish delicacy for drinks. You've had Dr. Brown's cherry soda and Dr. Brown's cream soda. Well, there's Dr. Brown's celery tonic, and it's a celery-flavored soda. I've been drinking that stuff for years.
Well, like V8, for example, it has some celery in it. And it has, well, it's got all kinds of vegetables in it.
It's got eight vegetables.
Isn't that why they say it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice?
Is V8 hard on your blood sugar?
Not so far. It does have some pretty high stuff in it, but I haven't had any for a while, so I'll have to...
The other thing is... how would you guys do it? You don't have one of those Vitamixes, do you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do.
So you could do some celery.
What's that you do with an old school blender? So,
yeah, I tell you, I use a regular old blender and I juice my stuff up. You might have to run it a little longer, but it'll still juice it up.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's one thing about the Vitamix. whenever you do something with the Vitamix, that thing flies. I mean, it's got a lot of power there.
Right.
They've been around since I saw something on YouTube, Dave, of a demonstration of a Vitamix, and it was titled, it was made in 1949. So, and I know they've been around for a while.
Yeah, they have been around for a good while.
Yeah, because I juice apples, I juice oranges. I juice almost any fruit in my blender, and I've had the blender probably 10 years or more, this one I got.
The thing about the Vitamix is you're supposed to be able to do peel and everything.
Well, I do the peel and everything in this, too. I just quarter the apple, and in fact, I'm the old type. I don't even take the seeds out. I just grind the whole thing up. I'm too lazy to core it. But I just quarter the apple or whatever size it is, maybe 4 or 5 chunks, drop it in there, and just let it go.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing what you can do with blenders and Vitamixes and stuff. Because I mean, you can really grind that stuff up, you know.
Yeah, if you really want a tart tasting orange juice, take an orange, drop it in, and take the other half and drop it in with a peel. If you like a tart orange juice, which I do once in a while, right?
Then maybe if I juice the orange, I could put some vodka in there and I have a nice screwdriver.
Well, yeah, you could, right? It work. I mean, it just. Of course, you get all the pulp. If you want a pulp-free, then you got to strain it. But I mean,
I like the pulp. I think the pulp tastes good. Actually, tell you the truth,
right, I do too. I don't like strained orange juice myself. But as far as Bill said about V8 juice, I'd look and see what the sugar count is on it, because all juiced will elevate your sugar if you drink too much of it, because it's a natural sugar and everything's got sugar in it. All your fruit has got sugar in it.
What does a V8 juice have in it? Is it just vegetables, or is
it just vegetables? It's just vegetables, no fruit. I think it's tomatoes. Beets, celery. I did know one time. I don't have a can here, but I used to know what all 8 were. But it's strictly all vegetables. I think it even has green beans in there. I think it's ground up in it.
It's like Wonder Bread fills. Wonder Bread supports your body in 12 ways, but I never knew what the 12 ways were.
Yeah, right.
That's why it's a wonder.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
But another thing that's supposed to be really good for you is, what is it? This new stuff. Not broccoli. I can't think of the name. I know everybody's been eating this stuff lately. There's broccoli, there's Brussels sprouts, and there's these guys on one of the radio stations here eat it all the time. Yeah, can't remember the name, but it's
kale.
Kale. That's it. Kale, that was it. Kale's supposed to be the big thing now, too.
Right? Yeah. I don't like Brussels sprouts, and I won't eat Brussels sprouts unless I'm forced to eat them.
Well, I love Brussels sprouts. Oh, man. In fact, I like cooked cabbage, so, you know, Brussels sprouts, I love them anyway.
When they're saying that with the celery, you could add lemon or kale or something if you want to.
Oh, you could put something else in with the lemon, with the celery. Well, you know, there used to be, years ago, back in the 60s, and I don't know, well, you guys are too young to remember, but back in the 60s in Chicago and different places, remember, used to have big juice bars, because then there was one in the train station. They'd just go to, people line up that thing, you know, they grind up carrots, coconut together, they grind all kinds of stuff together, and you'd buy these juices. They used to sell about the gallons, and the wife and I used to like the carrot, coconut, and apple mixture. And a lot of times I used to bring a whole gallon of that home on the train. Now, juice bars are really big at one time. They're all over the place, but they kind of died out now.
Well,
but Bill should remember, he worked in Chicago. He worked at Social Security office. And when he was working there in the 70s, there was a juice bar about 2 blocks from the Social Security office. I forget the name of the world.
There was. But you tend to forget about those things, unfortunately.
Right.
Bars and I'm sure they're still around today.
Oh, there's still some around, but they're not as prevalent as they used to be. You know, I mean, it used to be about one on every block, or every 2 blocks was one, you know.
You know what the problem is? Every time you buy food and it says low fat, no fat, reduced fat, every time I buy that kind of food, it tastes terrible. I cannot stand, and I know you're supposed to eat better and you're supposed to eat healthier, but if it says low fat, reduced fat, or no fat, I can't stand it.
Some things I don't like. Like, for example, butter. I like my butter to be kind of regular instead of reduced fat, no fat, you know, and some of those things or whatever. Now, I have learned to deal with a multi-grain bread and buns because that helps my blood sugar. But, you know, I've learned to deal with those, and I've learned to deal with some of the sugar-free things.
But you like, Bill, Bill, you like the butter that Grandma used to churn by hand with a 10% butter fat in it, right?
Right. But, you know, and I want something with salt in it. I'm like a guy on the thing yesterday who said I could just eat salt. He said, I like salt. Mm-hmm.
What about like margarine? I never liked that margarine that came in the tub. It tasted terrible. But what about like I can't believe it's butter? And then there's other margarines that maybe they taste different. But I just never liked that corn.
Some
whatever,
of that
whatever
stuff
it
is, actually has petroleum in it, and so I
wonder. That's why I'm not eating it, Mike.
Right.
I think I can't believe it's not butter is actually quite good, but
it's not bad, Tim. I think we have a 312 caller that's just came in. Has anybody seen that up on the screen?
Yeah, it's right there. I see it. Right, someone from Chicago's in here. Come on in. Say hello to us.
Good morning. Bob here in suburban Detroit.
Right. That's right.
That's
Bob.
Right. Oh, but he's got a 312 area code. Sorry about that, Bob.
Yes, I still have a 312 area.
Right. I mean, you're a Cubs fan or Bears fan or what? Do you have a 312?
No.
No. Okay. What's on your mind today?
You like CKLW. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Can I change the subject?
Sure.
Can you repeat the how to get the podcast on Lady A?
Okay. Oh. Lady A, you have to say, maybe I should let Bill answer unless it's changed, but Lady A, you have to ask for all things radio, and that has to do with the code that's associated. And then when you launch it, it's going to say playing Legend Oldies, our worldwide legend podcast. But for us to get it where that voice, where that word would activate it, we'd have to change the code, I guess. But right now you ask for all things radio, and then it will play one of the three recent podcasts. Now, is there a way to make it go previous and next to get to the one you want to hear? Because right now,
I believe if you say the voices that skip back or skip forward, it might work. I know with the tap, because it has buttons to do that, you can actually, for example, like the one that's going to go up today is the Coffee Club. But what if I wanted to listen to All Things Radio? If I skip back one, if I hit the button to the left, the back button, it will play the latest. Oh, it'll play the Sports Lounge, because that was the one before. And if you hit skip back again, it should play the latest version of All Things Radio. That's how tap works, and I believe that if you do it that way with your voice assistant, I think if you say skip back, it will play the previous podcast, although I haven't played with that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's also a podcast called Worldwide Legend or something. It's iHeart has, so that causes a problem. Now, Google, you do say, for anyone that has a Google device, you ask for Worldwide Legend Podcast, and it will play, and that one you just write, say, previous show, or I think you could even say All Things Radio 473, because it knows the titles, so it can launch those. And you can jump around, say, go to 10 minutes or jump forward 2 minutes. And I know Amazon does some of that, but Google, you could jump all over the place. But right now, there's two different.
You can do it with Lady A.
But to answer your question,
it will play the coffee.
Yeah, but to answer your question right now, you have to ask for All Things Radio Podcast and then get it to navigate back too if you want to hear the Coffee Club. Like here, as soon as we post it, you know, by 11 o'clock or so, then you say All Things Radio. It's going to play Coffee Club because that's the most recent. So it's a little kludgy, I suppose, in that way. If folks want to make a donation and we can afford to have different RSS feeds, that'd be great. But,
okay. Yeah, like right now it's gonna aggregate three. It's gonna aggregate the following podcasts: Coffee Club, All Things Radio, and Sports On. So there's always gonna be three new podcasts each week.
We do three a week.
Right now it's gonna play Sports Lounge because that's the most recent until we post this today. Then it'll play Coffee Club. I guess the bad thing about that is then tomorrow night it's gonna do All Things Radio. So Coffee Club kind of gets a short run on there.
Yeah, as being the first one. Yeah. But it's because of timing. But it does work on Lady A and your Google Assistant.
And I need to work with Bill. There's a service. I think we could put those on the phone if anyone wants to listen to those on the phone. We just got to sit down and...
Well, we've just got to figure it out. We've got it fixed. We've got a new phone number that people can call and listen to these on the phone that want to, too. It's just a matter of... We've had a few issues over the past couple of weeks just getting things to work, much less do the podcast. So, but now that we've got that solved, we think we've got more time for that. Did that answer your question, Bob?
It does. Yes, sir.
And I think it should work for you and get you up and going, and you can listen to some podcasts.
And Bob, if we could invent that magic time machine.
Don't come up so good.
Yeah. Bob, if we could invent that magic time machine and you wanted to say, I want to hear WLS from 1959, I wish we could do that. But unfortunately, that doesn't exist right now, my friend.
Yeah.
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 Unless you listen coast to coast, they probably swear it does. But.
Right. But it's only going to get better, Bob, with Lady on the podcast. It's only going to get better.
Now, how do we find out when the television channels are going to be repacked or whatever you said that, or when your city is going to be repacked?
Oh, you can call the FCC. It's real easy. It's toll free 888-CALL-FCC, which translates to 888-225-5322. And they have live humans there, as I used to call them. And my guy I worked with said, as opposed to dead humans, but live humans. I still like to say that. I think from 8 a.m.
And you hit option 6 on your touchtone phone to get to the live help desk for that area.
Right. 888- a.m. to 1 a.m. or something. And then
8 a.m. to 1 a.m. 7 days a week.
Eastern, yeah. So,
so that would work. Find out what's going to happen in your city, and we'll keep you posted here as best we know. But, of course, we're not always going to know.
Well, you know, that makes it, we were talking about they should just make note-takers run Android. But the problem is Android changes things so often. That's what happened yesterday. My TV updated, and the menu is totally different. It's completely different.
Well, and then the note takers use older versions of stuff, and it doesn't always update as well. But if you're also, Bob, you have an Amazon television, and you can get those cheap as $128. They have a forward and a back button that you can automatically skip through the podcast. So, and some of your, even your Jifton, the Amazon, the Lady A, don't they have a forward and back button on them?
That you only can, on the tap. That I don't think it's on the dot, but it's definitely on the tap. If you have an Amazon, the
original Alexa,
I don't remember seeing a forward and back on the original one, but I know on the tap they have one, but not on the Echo, not on the original Echo.
Right. I don't know, Bob. What kind of Lady A do you have?
Got the Echo.
The Echo.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it did, but maybe it's only on the tap. But you can say go forward, and it'll do that, or next, play next podcast. But
generally, you're going to play previous podcast because it's going to start with the most recent one.
Right. If you have an Echo and you have the Amazon remote for it, which I do, you can use that navigation wheel and hit the left and right buttons to go back and forward in the podcast, because I have an Echo remote, which when I first bought the Echo, it was not in, it was included. Now you have to buy it separately.
There's another program that we're going to enable. It's called AnyPod, AnyPod, and that is really good about going forward, back, jumping forward 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's a really good program for people that use Lady A. So help is on the way for that.
Yeah,
and so I think we can keep you entertained, at least with all our screw-ups. I mean, we're guaranteed one or two of those a week. So, you know.
Well, that's what they told us, Bill, when we worked in radio. So you're going to make mistakes. The part of being a good broadcaster is not letting people know you make mistakes. Well, when your broadcast breaks up, that's kind of hard to do. But sometimes you can, folks are none the wiser. But
none the wiser. But, hey, we can still give you some good entertainment for a couple hours. And we'll have everything back up after the show today once we reboot said machine and get USB cards working.
I was playing with something yesterday that you could do a podcast and broadcast on your iPhone. It's called Backpack Studio. It's a very interesting. It's a little different, but it has these things called pads, and you assign sounds to these pads, and then you just tap on them and play those audio clips at the appropriate times. And so,
yeah, I've got that.
I got to test to see if it actually works with Zoom, because I think once you exit Zoom, you know, it doesn't work. So I'm not sure how you're going to get both apps to talk to each other. It claims it'll do that, but we'll see. But that'd be interesting to actually do a whole show from your iPhone with the sound.
All I can say is, guys, the best is yet to come. We're going to work to try to make it get a little better each and every single week. But I thought when I tried everything with Comcast, and I tried everything, and I thought, man, this is the end of the rope. I don't know how I'm going to get this to work.
You said the laptop worked, and I said, well, patch your laptop in. And yeah, drivers. Well, Windows is messing with drivers, and it's causing a lot of people's problems, like, you know, people losing their sound or losing their network.
Go with speech. I mean, things can just happen. And, you know, this problem is so new that nobody's ever written about it on Google. I mean, I can't even find this particular problem.
Well, and the problem is you rolled it back, but at some point it's going to try to roll forward again.
And
unless you know what update caused that problem, where you can block it.
Right, but you don't know. And the problem is, this is not only Comcast, and I'm not trying to wail on them, but you get the people to come out and they can't speak English. You're not sure what they're saying or doing, and it can be a real problem. And, you know, or they just do generic things. They don't really go to check the source of the problem. Now, in this case, it wasn't necessarily their fault. Did they need to improve some things here with the signal? Yes, they did. And maybe it all works out for the best, but, you know. But the whole thing about it is you got to stick with a problem until you get it fixed, one way or the other.
So anything special for Jenny's birthday today? Special snacks?
Well,
special.
You know what we're going to do after I get off of here? After a while, I'm going to cook her an early dinner. She has steaks picked out for dinner, and she loves French fries or fried potatoes and we'll have a salad. Then I think we've got some birthday cake in there. And tonight we're going to go to a, we're going to try the first time to go to a meeting in our condo or neighborhood association. I'm going to try to find my way there. And we're going to vote as to whether we want to go with a Comcast type service here in the homeowners association or go to the new fiber. Well, you know, a lot of people don't like to make changes.
And if we can get over to the clubhouse today, maybe we can go back to the Valentine dance tomorrow.
Oh, there's a Valentine dance?
Yeah. They had it in the calendar anyway.
Yeah, watch out because you get it too figured out. Bill will be DJing over there.
Yeah, no, I don't
know. He doesn't have all the speakers and everything here. Don't give him any idea.
That portable, he's got an awesome portable mixer for DJing with the speakers and everything.
Joe
Happy
races.
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Valentine's Day. I was just going to stretch out on that. Tomorrow on Valentine's Day in the morning, we're going to hop over to the IHOP. We can enjoy those great, lovely pancakes, and maybe they have some Valentine's Day special. And then tomorrow night, I like to make my request on the phone for the legend to use my announcing skills all over the world on the legend. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night and some other romantic time surprises. Who knows? But great Valentine's Day tomorrow.
All right, great, Joe. When you're at IHOP, ask for that aphrodisiac salad and see if they have it down there.
Yes, and then, of course, those pancakes might be heart-shaped tomorrow.
Yeah, they might be, yeah. I heard at Trader Joe's, they have chocolate heart cookies or something of advertising. What if you went the day after Valentine's Day? Hey, I heard what you advertised.
If you go to Trader Joe's and they have stuff left over for Valentine's Day, you can get them at a much cheaper price. I can tell you that right now.
Day-old roses for $6 or, plenty of deals. You get it.
Oh, gee, Jennifer, it was your birthday. I would have taken you out to a nice restaurant. I was going to take you to McDonald's.
thank you.
I'm just kidding, Jennifer.
We were joking around this morning, in Indianapolis, it's a big deal where people make reservations to go to White Castle for Valentine's Day. I guess they put tablecloths on the tables and do all this. I can't imagine going to White Castle for my Valentine's Day dinner, but
all of them here in Chicago advertise. You drive by every White Castle, and they've been for the past 2 weeks advertising make your reservation Valentine's Day.
And I believe is it Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or something like that here? I think it's Dick from Milwaukee.
Hello, everybody.
Go ahead, Dick.
I hope everyone's doing well. Hey, got a couple of quick questions for you guys. Can anyone recommend a good landline phone that has audio caller ID?
Panasonic.
Panasonic's the only one I know.
I have those little phones, and you see when you have it on speaker, it'll die, and then you hit the thing and it'll go doo doo doo. So okay, I was hoping you weren't going to tell me that. My other question is, someone told me that in the very near future, i.e., Internet Explorer is going to be kind of discontinued. Any word on that?
Well, Microsoft is really encouraging businesses to quit using it because there's, I don't know if it'd be discontinued, but it has some security problems. And I tend to use it. I think a lot of people do. There's just certain websites it still seems to work on. Maybe those sites are older. I don't know. But what they're doing, they're coming out with a new browser, and it's going to, it uses on the back end something called Chromium, but they're putting it under the Edge brand. I personally think they should make a new browser, but just call it Internet Explorer 2020, and then people will use it because it's called IE, and maybe they'll be none the wiser if they put the hotkeys and everything in there. But they're insistent on doing the Edge, and it'll work in Windows 7 and Windows 10. So as we've said on this show before, Dick, the time has come that people, as much as you want to use Internet Explorer, if you used it for 20 years or 15, however long you've been on the Internet, there's going to come a time when you're going to just have to quit using it, force yourself to use one of the other options out there, the Chrome or Firefox or the new Edge when it comes out later this year.
Well, I'm using Chrome about 90% of the time. Oh, one last thing, you folks. you might want to know this. I was a big diet soda fan, and I had a new have a new doctor. And I was telling her, I don't drink coffee. So I was drinking like four a day, all right? She told me all the salt that's in there, and I, my blood pressure was high. Well, I decided to quit diet soda, and in the last 4 weeks, I had one diet soda when I were out having lunch somewhere. My blood pressure dropped 13 points.
That's a good point, because it also causes bloating. So people do it to, you know, lose weight or look thinner, and but the...
You don't.
Right. It causes bloating, so it's not a good...
For that. I drink carbonated water. I'm not sure how healthy that is. Like the polar, like the mandarin orange or the orange vanilla or the black cherry or the or whatever, or lemon or lime. I don't like diet soda. I don't like all the crap they put in it.
Yeah, you know, that I drink that now, too. My wife's been drinking that for quite a while. I like... I've been drinking the best, I think, so far is a strawberry lemonade. It has a little bit of a taste, not much, though, but, you know, no salt, no sugar.
I kind of like Long Island iced tea, but forget about that. I'm sorry.
Well, this is Bill in Chicago. I had a doctor over 30 years ago told me, don't ever drink diet drinks. They are not good for you. It's the stuff to use them. It's hard on your kidneys. It's hard on everything. Diet Popinette was the most abusive thing they ever put on the American population. I think a lot of the diet drinks is what's caused a lot of our health problems today with diabetes and all that stuff. Because it still had sugar in it. It was a synthetic sugar, which didn't help, and it affected your kidneys and everything else. That's why a lot of people have a kidney problem and everything. If anybody drinks Diet Pop, get rid of it. You're better off drinking. If you need a soft drink, just drink a half a bottle of regular Coke or regular Pop Pepsi.
That may be true.
Regular soft drink in there, though.
But it's hard to stop at a half a bottle. But I mean, if you need once in a while a shot of that, just take a small glass of that now and then. Just get rid of the diet altogether. In fact, even those sugar substitutes, he told us, and I just saw my doctor the other day, yesterday, and he asked me about, it's a new doctor because mother retired. He said, are you doing any diet drinks or sugar substitutes? I said, no, I haven't ever used those things. He said, good. He said, they're the worst thing your body can ever use.
What is it that causes high blood sugar? I was drinking a lot of coffee, like 4 to 5 cups a day, and I was told you got to really cut back. So I cut back to 2, and I drink very, very, very strong coffee, as Bill knows and Mike knows. And I was told that the coffee causes dehydration and also causes high blood pressure, which I didn't know.
Yeah, caffeine.
Yeah, it dehydrates you, right. It dehydrates you. When you dehydrate, your blood pressure goes up, too. That causes your blood pressure elevating. You know, everything is tricky. You're better off just to drink, well, if you can find uncontaminated water.
Yeah.
The way things are going today.
Oh, how boring is that? Nothing but water.
Right. We have a couple callers who have raised hands. Did anybody see them up here? Raised hands.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I think it's Joe or Ellen has raised their hands. Yeah, both Joe and Ellen have raised their hands. So, Ellen, would you want to start?
Maybe.
Sorry about that. I had to unmute myself. Anyway, I saw an email a long time ago that my dad had sent me, and you're right, Bill, the carbonation, or not really the carbonation, but the diet soda is really horrible, because if you drink too much of that, it will ruin your innards. So, yeah, I have to concur with you on that one, Bill.
Well, they're seeing now the baby boomers, the kids born in the 80s and 90s, they're finding some very alarming health problems with kids in their 20s and 30s that should not be having them, and diet drinks is part of that, and there's some other factors I'm not sure.
I think before we go, yeah. I think we have Buddy in here who just raised his hand. Is that you, Buddy? The 828 area code?
Okay.
I was playing with my Lady A yesterday, and I got my Bluetooth Sony headphones to work with it, and I found out that the forward and the back button will change tracks, and it will also go to the recent and the next podcast.
Anytime you've got that capability, you can do that, because you can just go forward or backward.
Yeah. What I need to know is, what is the exact way to play the Legend podcast on Lady A? Because I got confused about that.
It's Lady A, play all things radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what it was. I did that. It's all three of the podcasts.
It went to a different. It went to a different podcast when I tried.
Right, but
that.
What it
try doing this way. Say, Lady A, play All Things Radio from TuneIn. All Things Radio podcast from TuneIn. Do it that way and see what it does.
Okay. What you have, buddy, is there's three different. You have to think of All Things Radio, I guess, as a network because there's three different shows on that RSS feed as we just talked about a few minutes ago. So you're going to hear
now,
recent, and you'll use your previous
podcast. How about the AnyPod skill? Do you have to enable that, or do you download it, or how do you enable that?
Well, if it's a skill for the Alexa, you say Alexa, open AnyPod, and it will enable that skill.
Okay, great. But if you do have a pair of any Bluetooth headphone. For the dot, it will take you forward or back to the next track, and it will probably do it to the podcast. And also, if you have a remote, I think it's $30 for the dot. A friend of mine's got one, and it will take you to the next track, or it's just a button you press it forward or back, and it'll take you to the next track, and it'll probably take you to the next podcast once they get that. And I think it'll do it now.
As I said, you're always going to start. It's always going to start by default with the previous, so you're going to have to go back to hear something older.
Right. It's going to start with the most recent podcast that was uploaded.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mike and Jeff. Thank you. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Diet Coke, make sure you have a Diet Coke, buddy. And...
So, by the way, guys, I found an air checker, and I'm just going to tease you a little bit, Bill. It's before it was WNDE, it was another call sign, and I have an air check of something from that radio station from 1959.
Well, WFBM.
That's it, WFBM.
Who is WIFE? I always thought those were interesting call letters.
That was 1310 on the dial, which used to be WISHAM, who then switched to WIFE in the early 60s, like 1963.
I wish I had a wife. Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Well, that was back when screaming radio was popular.
I don't know if you wish I had a wife. I don't know if I want a wife.
They call them pukers, Jennifer. The people that talk like this, it's Ted.
WOLF 718 at the big
15. Oh, yeah.
Well,
that was on the rage back then.
All right, Jennifer. Well, from the Coffee Club staff and everyone, we wish you the very best and have a happy, happy, happy birthday.
Thank you, and everybody have a happy Valentine's Day if you're doing something with your sweetheart or not.
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
Jennifer, don't let him burn the potatoes.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Right.
That just cost you $1,000 royalties, Bill.